I am a podcaster.
Yes.
And I have 3 headphones.
Great.
I can find 0 of them. And currently in my high-tech studio, I am using free airplane headphones to record our professional podcast with which we actually earn. These are the free ones they give away on United. If I wasn't a crazy old lady hoarder, I would not be able to record today. This is what we're working with here. This is where we are. Meet me here.
Wow. I think that that's what the Pixies were actually talking about when they wrote the song Where Is My Mind. What they meant was actually this.
Where is my mind?
Headphones. Headphones.
Where is mine?
Headphones.
It's scone great. Hello, Joey.
Hello, my love. How are you? You are a vision in yellow. You look like sunshine. You look like a bowl full of butter, and I want to eat it up, put it on some toast, and devour it.
You want to devour me?
I knew it.
Welcome, everyone, to I Think Not, where 2 platonic best friends make awkward innuendos to each other and call it humor. I'm Ellen Marsh, and across from me is the gorgeous and adorable Joey Taranto. How are you, my love?
You're so nice. You look gorgeous and adorable. I'm doing great. It's disgusting here in New York today, but...
It's raining.
And not men.
It's raining.
Yeah.
And I am actually rocking United headphones. I can't find any of my headphones. I have 3 headphones. I'm a podcaster.
I blame your child.
I do too, actually. Yes, absolutely, I blame her.
Yeah, kids do that. They'll just make off with your stuff and not think twice about it. Also, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I have recorded with all 3 of my partners today. And not the sexual ones, the podcasting ones.
Yep.
I have other podcasts. Did you know that?
Yes, unfortunately, I do know that.
Oh, well. If you want more of this podcast, you can always join us on the Patreon. Right now, we're doing Playboy Murders, but that is where you are going to find our back catalog. You have all kinds of options, ad-free options. You've got bonus content. You got Swamp Talk, which is basically where just Joey and I trauma dump on you, and you have to like it because you said you loved us and you made that promise. How are you liking Playboy Murders right now?
I really do enjoy it. It's really wild because when you think of Playboy, all you think of is boobies. You know what I mean? And there is so much more. And, you know, just like any facet of the entertainment business, there's always a dark underbelly. And like the Playboy world is truly a whole other world. One that I don't care to visit.
No, they call it the Playboy curse. I know.
Yeah.
We do our long form episodes over there. When we find a show that we like, we visit it for about 10 episodes. And over here on the main feed, we change it up just a little bit more. We give you 4 episodes of every TV show we love. Honey, this is it. This is the last one.
No.
How are you going to say goodbye to yesterday? This is the show that keeps on giving. It really just is so good.
The jokes write themselves. They really do. I mean, listen, we'll find another one, but I Almost Got Away With It is near and dear to my heart. And also, if you like this show, we've got more episodes over there on the Patreon, so go and check them out ad-free. We've got Pink Collar Crimes, we've got Southern Fried Homicide, another one of my favorites, Fry Thy Neighbor, Who the Bleep Did I Marry, See No Evil, that one. I love See No Evil because the crimes always get solved.
Yes, they do. It totally alleviates any kind of true crime anxiety you might have. And last but not least, do not forget, we are going back on tour. Should we announce our new cities?
We should.
We have already announced we will be in Raleigh April 25th, Indianapolis May 13th, and Columbus, Ohio, May 14th. But did you know we are also going to be, tell them, Joey. Okay, I'll do it. We're going to be in Phoenix, June 16th, and Minneapolis, June 17th. So by the time you listen to this, we'll see where we are. You know that Patreon always gets first go at the tickets, and usually our VIP tickets sell out on Patreon, which is just the nicest thing ever. You guys are just too wonderful for us. But come see us live. We're going to be closing out this show in the next couple of cities that we're announcing, and then we'll have a whole new show for you in the fall.
Yeah, everyone who's asking about Atlanta and Nashville, quit yelling at us. 1, 2, are you mad at us? 3, we're just waiting to solidify those dates with the venues. I promise you will be the first ones to know as soon as we know.
So we love you. Should we get to the episode?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. I Almost Got Away With It, Season 6, Episode 5, Black Market Maestro.
What do you want? You're
under arrest. A dangerous young criminal won't let anyone stand in his way.
No remorse. No conscience. Sociopath.
He leads a gang of thieves who rob a wealthy community blind.
We didn't care about who we took from and what we did, who got hurt in the process.
The crime spree sparks a countywide manhunt.
You have thousands of eyes out on the street looking for him at that point.
But this fugitive won't go down without a fight.
When the cops came after me, they were coming with a vengeance.
Well, it is June of 2007, and we are in Wilmington, North Carolina. Wait a minute. Wilmington, North Carolina? Oh my God. That's where Dawson's Creek was filmed. Dawson and Joey. Joey and Pacey. Pacey and his teacher. Jenny and Graham. Graham defends the gays. The gays love her. The gays love the show. The gays. More and more gays. I have to do it.
Don't do it, Joey.
I have to.
If you do it, I do it, Joey. No, I do. I was just trying to sound. I don't want to wait for our lives to be. I just was trying to make it funny.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For a comedy podcast.
I know. I'm sorry. That needed to happen. That song truly has been in my mind for 28 years now. 27. Mm. It just will never go away. Anyway, y'all, it's the middle of the night. And 19-year-old Kylan Padgett is awakened from his sleep at 3 a.m. by a flashlight in his face. Sounds great.
And he apparently stole a neighbor's motorcycle. We'll hear about that later. But he is here to tell us that the first time he ever stole anything was when he was 16. He would steal little things like from the mall or sunglasses or a thing. Did you ever steal stuff?
No, I was too terrified.
Really?
Yeah, that was not my MO.
Mm-hmm.
You?
I can't think of what I stole, but I think I stole like a pack of gum or like a lip gloss, but that was just because all my friends did it.
Right.
But I was caught when I was little stealing one single piece of Chewel's gum. I don't know if I've told this story because my mom wouldn't allow me to have sugared gum and I just wanted to like taste sugared gum and I got caught.
And did she make you go back to the store and tell them?
No. They came out. They were like, your daughter like opened a pack of gum. And then my mom took my Tiffany cassette tape away for 2 weeks. That was my punishment. That is a true story.
Honey, you thought you were alone now while you were stealing that gum, and turns out you were not. You're on
Chewel's
surveillance
gum.
Camera.
But this is what happens when you deny your kids things. I don't understand why Anna was keeping the sugared gum from me.
You know, then it went to something else, like a set of rims for your car, speakers for your trunk. I'll find out how much it's worth, charge you a third the price, and then that was that.
Stephen Fowler is here to tell us that word got around, and if ever you needed something, you should check with Kylan Padgett first to see if he could steal it and then sell it to you for a fraction of the cost. That's so gross. Do you know, I was actually talking to our Discord daddy, Josh, and he was telling me about professional retail thievery rings.
Go on.
It's bananas. They like go into Sephora and they have like garbage bags.
Yeah.
And they fill it, or at Target or at Walmart, and they have like a whole plan. They have pickups and drop-offs and cars. It's like rings of like 30 people.
Yeah, I am too terrified of prison and prison life. I'll never make it to ever do that. Also, can we just say, one of the reenactment actors is like, hey, I'm looking for some lingerie for my girlfriend. You got anything? And the reenactment Kylan goes, how about this? And he holds up what can only be described as a blue Meemaw bra for nursing mothers. I don't know. And I'm like, is that lingerie?
It's literally like an over-the-shoulder boulder holder. Like, whose big old titties are fitting in that bra? And it's not sexy. Now listen, big titties are beautiful, but it's the most unflattering, unsexy bra ever. It's like, you know, women have period underwear.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, it's like a period bra. It's like a bra you know no one's gonna see.
Got it. Thank you for
You're welcome.
That up. So back to this night, that flashlight that was shining in his face was from a cop through the window. And so Kylan wakes up and he's like, oh God, there's banging on the back door. And he goes to answer the door and he's face to face with the sheriff's department. And he's all,
what do you want?
And suddenly the cops break into song because they go,
you're the one that I want.
You stole a bike, honey.
Now going to jail.
In your drawers, honey.
You're
yes, they arrest him in his panties. His mama works the graveyard shift at a lab. A neighbor called her to tell her what's up. She shows up and she's like, oh, Jesus, not again. What did you do? That's right. Kylan stole a neighbor's bike. The cops traced it down to his backyard where he lives with his mama. And he's in some deep shit now.
He pleads not guilty because who knows why, but he posts bond and is released until the trial date is set. Now, he is going to be a good little boy. He's not going to do any more naughty things because he doesn't need any more strikes against him. He wants to stay out of trouble and make an honest living. So he lays low while he waits for his trial date, and he works at a fast food restaurant making $200 a week. And they pan on reenactment Kylan flipping and making the burgers. These burgers are burnt. I know there was some kind of a meat budget.
Yes.
And they didn't have time for a lot of takes because, you know, this is, I almost got away with it. We're flying by the seat of their pants. But they must have shot this take anywhere between 6 and 22 times because the guy was like doing it and he's like, again, I will, and they're, what's more than well done? Whatever it is, it's that. And I,
charred.
I hate well done meat. Yeah, I basically want my burgers to moo, but these are fried to the gills. It's char.
Yeah,
it is charred meat.
It's either that they were burned or the cows they got this meat from were all smokers. They were like, you don't want to eat my meat? I'm going to make you sick.
Yeah.
They apparently sounded like Marge Simpson's twin sisters. Okay. Also, can I just say, I love when people are like, you know, people are just not nice anymore. What happened to service with a smile at like a fast food restaurant? I'm like, you want service with a smile when people are making $7 an hour? How about you pay people a livable wage and then you'll get a smile with charred burger? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Anyway, don't get me started.
Joey, guess what?
What?
Apostrophe is back. Skincare is complicated. I have about a 27-step routine at night, but there is one thing I am never leaving the house with now that I'm in my late 30s to mid 40s to early 60s, and that is sunscreen. I love the Apostrophe sunscreen. Apostrophe is an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team, and that's going to get you customized acne treatment for your unique skin.
Listen, we've all walked down that skincare aisle at a drugstore and been like, who, what, where, and why? I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. This is overwhelming. Apostrophe comes in and they take all the confusion away. Because through Apostrophe, you can get everything you need, a full program. You can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne. And not just on your face. We say it all the time. Your back, your chest, your boobs, your butt. Breakouts from head to toe that you can get under control with Apostrophe.
Now, the thing is, you have access to an expert dermatology team. That means if you have questions about your program or if it's not working with your skin, they are going to tailor that treatment to you. It's so simple. No in-person appointment needed. You don't need to go to a pharmacy, and your dermatology provider is going to give you access to those prescription treatments. I am telling you right now, if you have not at least just given Apostrophe a try, you got to do it now. And as always, you can always email me with questions. We have a special deal for our audience. Get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/think when you use our code THINK.
That's a savings of $15. And this code is only available to our listeners.
So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/think and click get started. Then use our code THINK at sign up and you'll get your first visit for only $5.
Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode and keeping my skin clear and gorgeous.
On your bum, too.
Yeah.
August 8th, 2007. Paget gets a call from Jeff Kinder, one of his best friends.
Hello?
Dude, can you take off early?
Nah, I can't.
Oh, come on, man.
He's younger than me, but he was always like my older brother.
And Kylan's at work flipping those charred burgers when he gets a call from his best friend, Jeff. Jeff E. Pop. Spelled P-A-W-P. Pop. Jeff Kinder.
Are you going to be okay?
I think that that's a loaded question.
These episodes, they're packed with so much information. We got a long way to go. Do you want oxygen? What do you need?
Honey, I'm fine. Everything is fine. Don't I look fine?
Mm-hmm. Fine.
Just tell the story.
So Jeff Kinder is like, come and meet me. And of course, Paget knows what's going on. He's like, I can't. I have to keep everything on the up and up before my trial date. And Jeff is like, come on, be cool. It'll be fun. Listen, never trust anyone named Jeff. Okay? John or Brian or Paul or Ronnie or Chad or Philip or Eric or Flotsam or Jetsam. Don't trust anyone.
Yeah.
Don't trust anyone. So Kylan's like, fine, twist my arm, why don't ya? I'm done at 6. So they go off to a bar.
And they go from 0 to blowing lines of coke in the bathroom.
And they're talking about things in the bathroom, you know, normal stuff like
eat ass, suck a dick, and sell drugs.
And this guy, Brian, overhears them talking about
eat ass, suck a dick, and sell drugs.
That sounds like fun, honestly.
And it doesn't even have to be in that order.
Right.
Choose your own adventure. So according to Kylan, this is what happens next. Kylan says that he had like $300, maybe $350 on him and a half a gram of coke.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is that a lot of coke?
I have no idea.
Is that like a usable amount of coke or a sellable amount of coke? I love research. I have not researched coke distribution because I'm scared to put it on my computer. I'm fine about murderers and ex-cons and stuff, but like asking how much coke is an acceptable amount of coke feels like the FBI will be at my house within 3 to 4 minutes.
I think so. Also, I'm terrified that God forbid there's ever anything that I'm somehow dragged into and they look at my search history, they'll be like, sir, there's a lot of murder on here. I'm like, it's my job, not my legitimate job. Like that. My
Oh, so you're a murder for hire?
No, not
so you're
like
a
that,
sniper.
Like my podcast job, but I'm not like looking and they're like, sure, sir. And then I go to jail and then I'm too pretty for jail. I cannot, I'm terrified of jail.
So anyway, the point is we don't know how much coke that is. So if somebody knows without Googling, please let me know.
So bar patron Brian approaches Kylan and Jeff after hearing them talking about
eat ass, suck a dick, and sell drugs.
And he's like, hey, you guys partying? I've got any weed? And Kylan is thinking, yeah, we could party. You want to party? Let's party.
I don't mind kicking it with him. We can find some cooler women to hang out with, you know, some older broads. Maybe we can find some cougars or something, you know.
Well, and how does that make you feel?
Well, I'm actually at the point now in my age where I could date you or your dad, depending on my mood that day.
Well, you can't date my dad because he's no longer
on
planet Earth.
Your dad's dead. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I am pretty magical, but I can't do that. So, I mean, it could go either way. I'm kidding. You know I don't have sex with older men. When older men hit on me now, I pretty much am like,
ew, David.
I do want to say this. Far too many people, men, now know the secret of the cougar. It was kept under wraps for a really long time.
Yeah.
And now everybody knows. And now, like, every young dude knows how great cougars are. Like, we don't need your money or your time.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need you to take care of us. And now all men are into it. It's not like a secret society anymore.
Got it.
So it's exhausting.
Yeah.
I'm beating them away with a stick.
I believe it. Look at you. You're a beautiful cougar with grand Tetons that would make even a homosexual like me drool. Look at you.
It's a lot. I'm busy. I have 3 podcasts.
So Kylan's like, come with me and my friend Jeff. We're going to drive over to my dealer's place. And they drive behind a restaurant in central Wilmington. Now, bar patron Brian and Kylan get out to wait for the dealer while best friend Jeff parks a few blocks away. The dealer arrives. They both get in the car. And what better way to make a deal than to do some drugs first?
Mm-hmm.
Because blowing lines in public in a parked car seems like a fantastic idea.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brian was buying the weed and Padgett was getting the cocaine. They kept calling it powder. Is that what do we call
Can you not say cocaine on network television?
Maybe that's the thing. Are we going to get some whoop-whoop? I don't know. So they're wrapping it up and the drug dealer has like scales and shit and they're, you know, smoking, doing drugs with their drug dealer. And Padgett starts to get a little paranoid, a little edgy, because don't forget, he's already been drinking and
eat ass, suck a dick, and sell drugs.
Right. Thank you, John Mulaney. And he starts to get a little paranoid.
Yeah. Mr. Kylan Padgett is like, my best friend Jeff is waiting for us a few blocks away and we've been blowing lines, smoking weed and drinking for 15 minutes in this car. So he wraps up the deal real fast, gets his coke and the weed, and he and his new friend Brian hop out of the car.
I went to pull out my cell phone, call my partner and tell him, hey, man, get your car over here, pick us up.
Hey. But bar patron Brian is like, bro, where's my weed? And Kylan is like, just chill, I got it. And according to Kylan, he says that all of a sudden, Brian pulls out a knife and Kylan is freaking out. He's like, just chill, everything is okay. He's thinking, holy fuck, this Brian dude's gonna rob me, and I should just try to run past him. So he does.
So Kyle and Padgett, they normally call him Padgett in this episode, so we might call him both. Just, you know, keep up. He tries to run past him, and new bestie bar patron Brian swings the knife at him. It just so happens that Kyle and Padgett also has a knife. And of course, you know, the only thing my stupid ass can think of.
West Side Story.
I know. Like at last, what are they doing? The end of Act One. Everything always comes back to West Side Story. Anyway, this gets really violent. Padgett stabs bar patron Brian 5 times in the chest and abdomen. But of course, Padgett tells us he was getting attacked. But 5 times? That seems excessive. That seems very stabby to me.
I think one stab is enough to, like, scare the shit out of someone. But, you know, who knows when you're...
eat ass, suck a dick, and sell drugs.
It can convolute your mind.
Sure.
So, while this is all going down, 2 people in a van drive by and see this happen. Kylan yells for help, but they don't stop. However, they do call 911, and now Kylan is running from the scene. And he ditches the knife, he ditches the coke, but he still has money on him, and he's covered in fucking blood. What could go wrong?
Nothing. So he bumps into 2 college students, and he's basically like, hey, I just need you to walk with me to a payphone. I've just been in a fight, and I'm scared. And the 2 college kids are like, a knife fight? Like West Side fucking Story? Oh my God. You know what was really bad? Because Riff lied to Tony the whole time and said it was just going to be a fist fight when he knew full well there were going to be weapons there. Am I right? And then Tony's the one who, like, killed Bernardo, and, like, she totally lies to Maria. And he's like, guys, I'm bleeding. I have blood on me. Please just walk me to a payphone. And they're like, okay, but, like, that totally shouldn't have escalated with Tony, because then Tony killed the love of his life's brother, right? Anyway, if you haven't seen West Side Story, sorry for the spoiler. Kylan Padgett's like, I have no fucking idea what you guys are talking about. So they are kind of like, you know, going back and forth over was the revival better or the original. And he's like, okay, listen, I will give you guys $20 each. All you have to do is walk me to a payphone. Now, again, this is all according to Kylan Padgett. Joey, we have a new sponsor.
Tell me all about it.
You all, listen up. Armra Colostrum. I said colostrum. Here is something that I have not mentioned. I have really been looking to strengthen my immunity and my gut health and improve my overall quality of life. I don't always get the best sleep. I don't always eat the best. And so I'm trying to make little changes in my life. I have been taking Armra now for about a month and I have seen so many benefits. Here's the thing. This product is amazing if you want to reset your gut health. I have seen a noticeable difference in my everyday gut health, as well as in my hair and my skin.
Also, Armra Colostrum kickstarts your metabolism. It also helps with hair growth and makes your skin glow. But for me, I am on a fitness journey right now, and sometimes my body is really sore. Armra Colostrum helps power fitness performance and the recovery process. Not to mention that it has very powerful anti-aging benefits, and you know how vain Ellen and I are about that.
Colostrum, as you know, is the first nutrition we get in life, right? That liquid gold. And that's because it contains all of the essential nutrients our bodies need. Now, this colostrum comes from sustainably sourced colostrum from grass-fed cows from their co-op of dairy farms in the USA. You all have to look into this company. They are doing everything right. They have an impeccable commitment to quality control. You can see their entire process. They go above and beyond industry standards.
Listen, anything that promises to decrease my recovery time from working out too hard by over 50% and helps me build lean muscle mass, I'm into it. Sign me up.
And here's my little personal advice. It says that you can just take a spoonful and chew, or you can mix it with the liquid. I'm here to tell you, just take a spoonful. I ordered the blood orange. It's totally pleasant tasting and easy to do, and you will feel and see results.
Well, we've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order.
Go to tryarmra.com/think or enter think to get 15% off your first order.
That's tryarmra.com/think.
Y'all, Google this company. You are going to fall in love with the things they are doing.
I already have.
Love you, Armra.
But here, you know what? Take 20 bucks, okay?
Just... He offers them $20 each to walk him to a payphone.
Okay. All right, man.
The police show up, just tell me you've been walking for the past couple hours.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems right. No, $20, a $20 bill covered in blood while you're covered in blood and we just met you and we're supposed to take you at your word and just walk you along to a payphone. No, all that sounds fine. What are you talking about? We're in college.
Also, that guy didn't give a shit about West Side Story and that really pissed them off. So,
so they make it to a payphone. Kylan calls best friend Jeff to pick him up. Jeff arrives. Kylan immediately is changing his clothes in the car and they take off. However, those college students were like, I cannot believe that he did not give a shit about what Maria and Anita had to go through. All that pain, losing the loves of their lives, potentially. Let's write down their license plate number because clearly there's something wrong with them. They're sociopaths.
They did not care at all.
Not at all.
Did they not hear the duet at the end of Act Two? No.
I have love and it's all that I need.
West Side Story has come up 2 out of 2 weeks.
It's true. So they do write down the license plate number and y'all, they call the cops and you should have paid them more.
Yeah.
And bar patron Brian is found, rushed to the hospital. And the next day, cops use that license plate to track down Jeff. Now, they know he is friends with Kylan, and they end up going to Kylan's house and arresting him.
And Kylan Padgett surrendered voluntarily. He came to the door. He was placed into custody. All of this happened within, like, 18 hours. And so then Kylan Padgett is questioned by the police, but he's not cooperating. In fact, he was actually very confrontational. And they were just like, come on, dumbass. You don't even know what key Maria is sung in. Do you know anything? But then Padgett tells a different story and says that the cops are being really antagonistic. Because the cops are like, listen, if that guy dies from his wounds, like Riff and Bernardo at the end of Act One, you're up for murder, bro. And you're going to have to run just like Tony and confess to Maria what you did and also tell Anita that you killed the love of her life. It's very complicated when you lie.
And then you have to contend with Chino. Oh, Chino.
All right. I stabbed him.
Padgett decides to admit to the stabbing, but claims self-defense. Detective Odom doesn't buy it. He's convinced Padgett meant to rob Brian all along.
He was readily handing money to the two witnesses who we had interviewed that had blood stains on them. Whether it was his blood, we don't know. We had probable cause to believe that he had in fact robbed, and in the process of committing that robbery, had stabbed the victim.
Brian fortunately survived after a very intense surgery, but Kylan is charged with attempted murder and armed robbery. His bail is set at, wait for it, $500,000. So that dude is stuck in prison to await trial.
And he's sent to New Hanover County Detention Facility, waiting on that attempted murder charge. And while he was in there, he was not happy.
Nope.
He was basically a jail Karen. He's like, it's too hot in here.
There's not enough fucking soap.
Oh, this toilet paper's like roughy on my tushy.
This bologna tastes like cat litter.
Do you have any more pillows? My neck is crinking.
Can you fluff my pillow?
I can hear all your snoring in here. Can everyone please just be quiet? Do you have the Calm app?
Can you send me to the jail spa? I need a massage.
Yeah, I'm like, honey, this is prison. It's not the fucking Beverly Hills Hotel. This dude was demanding all kinds of things. He turned into Veruca from fucking Willy Wonka because he was all...
Don't care how I want it now.
Yeah, the incarceration hotel was not 5 stars at all.
No.
The vibes were off, and Kylan Padgett was not here for it, and he is not going to stand it. One of the officers says...
He was just basically a pain.
Listen, if you're not getting good service, you have to say something. If the vibes are off in jail, you have to complain and see where it gets you.
Honey, the worst thing that was ever invented, Yelp. Because my lord.
Everyone thinks they're a fucking food critic. I was like, no, babe, you're at the La Casa La Quinta number 5 having a burrito. No, you are not a food critic, my man.
So while Kylan was awaiting trial in prison, he was acquitted of that stolen motorcycle charge because they couldn't prove he did it.
Twist.
So that brings us to August of 2008, a year after the stabbing, Kylan goes to trial.
And get ready for it, because Brian Young, he has done all the drugs, he's eaten all the ass, he's smoked all the dicks, and he's done all the drugs, and he is here recovered, ready to take the stand. But here's what, Brian Young tells a very different story. He basically says he went to go buy some marijuana with Kylan Padgett, and suddenly Kylan pulls out a knife and demands money. And he's like, all I have is 10 bucks. And Padgett didn't like that. He wanted more than $10. And he said, before I knew it, he was stabbing me. Which, listen, if that guy was on a coke bender and also drunk, I believe that he could be irrational like that. I mean, what does Brian Young have to prove by lying? Because he's not having charges pressed against him. The only thing that's happening is Kylan is claiming self-defense. So if he was like, yeah, I was defending myself, he was defending, it doesn't seem like he would have a reason to lie, don't you think?
I agree. I mean, the other thing is that you've never done cocaína. But the thing about coke is, it makes you feel invincible. It makes you feel like fucking Superman. Every fist fight I have been in my life was when I was high on coke. I do not recommend.
Siri, Google where to buy coke. I just want to feel invincible for a little bit.
So Brian describes the account in detail, and it is very clear that the jury is on his side. So when Kylan takes the stand and says, why would I rob a guy and stab a guy over $10 when I had over $300 in my pocket? The only reason I stabbed him was because he stabbed me first. So remember that van with two patrons in it?
Were they patrons?
Why did I say patrons?
Probably they had tickets to see West Side Story, and it got canceled.
With conflicting stories between Padgett and the victim, the testimony of a passerby becomes critical. The woman who witnessed the fight from her van is called to the stand.
I hear.
But she speaks little English and does not use an interpreter.
So without an eyewitness, it was just Brian's word against Kylan and Kylan's word against Brian. So Kylan is ultimately found not guilty and released, and the police are like,
damn!
Yeah, they were not happy with that outcome.
I also don't understand why they just didn't get this woman an interpreter.
Who knows?
It just seems very lazy.
Maybe they thought that Brian's testimony was going to be enough. But I mean, an eyewitness account, that's what you really need to focus on.
Yeah. So he is released from jail August 8th, 2008. And he is really happy. He just wants to go to the beach and surf. Went back to the fast food restaurant. I don't even want to talk about the burnt burgers. They're there. It's the same. Nothing has changed. Very disappointing. But he's ready to start over. But he turns 21 and he meets up with his good old dear friend, Jeff Kinder.
And Jeff Kinder is a hot fucking mess. He lost his license over a DUI. He was getting into trouble. And he tells Kylan, I need to make some money. So Kyle's like, maybe I can help you get a job at a fast food restaurant.
He's like, yeah, do you know how to burn burgers? If you can, I can get you right in there if you can burn a burger.
And so Jeff is like, no, I'm good with burning burgers. Actually, I have a better idea. I know some people. They're called The Fence. Please someone explain the name of, I don't know why, they don't explain it, it doesn't make sense, but they're a group in the underworld of thievery called The Fence, and they will buy things from you if you steal them. And Kylan says, look, I miss that rush of stealing. I understand that rush because I felt that in my late teens and early 20s when I would sneak out of my house to go meet a boy, and that rush of getting caught or putting myself in a precarious situation, like, it is a rush. I do not want to experience that again. I put myself in very dangerous situations. I never would again, but like, I understand it because it is a feeling that usually starts in your penis and expands throughout your body.
Okay.
Hey, Yellen!
What?
I have a surprise for you from our new sponsor, Songfinch. Hit it, Songfinch!
Yellen, I am so lucky to have you in my life. You are my sister for the rest of time.
Oh my god, that is the sweetest thing ever! But I am better. better than you.
Listen, y'all, Songfinch is amazing. It is the perfect gift for that person who is so hard to shop for or who has everything. It's an unforgettable gift that just shows how much you love someone. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's totally unique, totally personal, and it is forever.
I just love it. I have said so many times, I don't need stuff. I don't need material things. If I need something, I'll buy it. I love things that are unique, that are unforgettable, things that really make you appreciate an original song from Songfinch. That is the best gift. Mother's Day is coming up, and I know I always feel really overwhelmed and anxious about gifts, but finding something that is truly special, I mean, there is nothing like it. So tell them what you did to make that song.
Y'all, I'm telling you, I had so much fun. Songfinch walks you through a very easy process in creating your original song. All you have to do is say, this is who the song is for, this is the style I want. Obviously, I went for rock and roll. And then you share some of your personal details about your relationship. And then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in literally 4 to 7 days. The turnaround is a dream.
So whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your new song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free. So you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/thinknot and start your song. After your purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/thinknot. Don't forget to share your song with us too.
Songfinch.com/thinknot. Get a song. Don't get more stuff. I love my song, Joey. Thank you.
They did such a good job. And the song is called Our Mess.
Which we are.
Let's do it.
You in?
I'm in.
It's a deal.
The first request from the fence is 10 stainless steel boat propellers.
What?
That is oddly specific.
I wrote the same fucking thing.
What is happening? He's like, I got you. I know where to get 10 stainless steel boat propellers. So he goes to a marine warehouse, whatever the fuck that is, and starts grabbing stuff and selling it. And so they go on this massive stealing spree. But they were like, no, what is this? This isn't enough. You need to steal big things, gaming systems, TVs, VCRs.
And we don't want your nursing mother. There's brassiers.
So they come up with this brilliant idea to go to a really wealthy gated community and start stealing there. So they settle on this place called Landfall. And Charlene Dubois here with her face blacked out, but we have her name.
I doubt that's her real name. When they were like, what name would you like to give us? She's like, I think I'll go with Charlene Dubois. And her real name is probably like Amy Grant.
Right. Also, where is our Charlene? Chico artist.
Where is she?
Where is she? Do you think she's mad at us?
Let's find out.
She hasn't done a lip sync in a really long time.
No.
Maybe she's making one right now and she can't pick up the phone.
Hello?
Charlene?
Ellen.
Hi.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
You're on the radio. Say hi, Joey.
Hi, Charlene.
He said hi.
Hi, Joey.
Well, we have a character in the episode called Charlene Dubois, and she's got her name blacked out. So we have two questions. Is this you?
No.
Okay, it's not you. And then number two, we just wanted to know if you were mad at us because you don't do our lip syncs anymore, and we just want to know what we did. You can be honest. You're on the radio, though.
I'm like the sad hamster meme, pretty much. So that's my little eyes and just like, no, I'm not mad.
You don't think we're funny anymore. Okay, you heard it here. You heard it here on the show.
I'm going to die. I feel like I'm being bullied into a corner. I'd like to speak to HR now.
Yeah.
Joke's on you. We don't have HR.
Are you guys mad at me?
I mean.
Yes.
Joey's been mad at me since that live.
No. Okay, Chico artist, we love you.
I love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Landfall is a gated community, so it's very safe, or you feel very safe. People leave their doors unlocked, leave their cars unlocked.
So this is a community of stupid people.
So the problem that is posed to anyone who wants to infiltrate this community and rob them is that there is a very high security fence surrounding the neighborhood. To get in, you have to be a resident or have a barcode to lift the gate up or have a resident let you in. Otherwise, you're fucked. So how to get in? I'd love to tell you. I'd like to introduce you to the Intracoastal Waterway, which is a 3,000-mile network of canals and inlets along the Atlantic Ocean, and it borders one side of the landfall community. I just said a mouthful, and most of those things I didn't understand.
Did you just write down exactly what they said in the episode?
I sure did, because I was like, couldn't you just say there was a waterway behind the community? You've known me for years. You know I complicate things. My therapist literally said to me, Joey, most people run away from the fire, and you run right into it. That is you're like, I'm not afraid, and you get right in the middle. I complicate everything.
And they say
the best way in and out is through the marsh.
I'm here to tell you that is the best way in and out, because the marsh can be wet and the marsh can be a little slippery, but it's a good way in and out is through the marsh. They just said it.
Medic, this time for me. So now they just got to get a boat. Kylan's like, I live in a marina and my neighbors let me borrow their boat whenever. I'm like, your neighbors let you, a proven thief, borrow their boat?
Like, a boat is like a car. I would never tell anyone that they could just willy-nilly borrow my car, and I drive a crappy Jetta. Like, who's like, yeah, whenever you need, grab my boat?
I don't, that doesn't add up. 2 plus 2 is equal in 5 right now.
Yeah.
So now they have their plan, and a week later, in the middle of the night, Kylan and Jeff take the neighbor's boat out to the docks on the edge of the landfall community. It's pitch black, they dock the boat, and they enter the community ready to rob everybody blind in the dead of night.
Easy as pie. They go into everyone's cars, because everyone leaves their cars unlocked, as they know, and they get gaming systems, because I guess people leave those in their cars. They get jewelry, and they don't get caught. And something we've learned in all these shows is when people don't get caught, they just keep doing it. And they're like, well, that was fun and easy, which is also my Grindr username. And they're pulling in like a weekly salary, basically.
Yeah, they're making about $2,000 each a week. But now, since the boys were making all this money, they were investing that money. They were saving it, planning on using it for college, putting it into their 401k. Just kidding. It was nothing but strip clubs and coke. They would rent hotel rooms and host parties. They funded all the drugs and they were living large.
Wilmington Police Detective Jason Oakes is assigned to look into the rash of break-ins.
It was initially just one break-in in the landfall area, and then we looked into the break-ins and found several more in the area, realized they were all connected.
You had a break-in, and you had a break-in, and you, everybody has a break-in! So there's like 20 cases of break-ins and stolen property, and upon further investigation, they realize that number is more like 40, and they value all of the stolen property to be about $50,000.
Yep.
That's a lot of dollars.
That's a lot of dollars. So heavy surveillance is placed in the community. They checked folks' security cameras, nothing. Looked for breaches in the fence surrounding the community, none. They didn't know how these thieves were getting in. And the pawn shops didn't produce any of the stolen items, so they had nothing to go on. But a week later, there's more break-ins. And that brings us to December of 2008.
I like how every other time it's a very specific date. And then they're like, I don't know, just, I'm not going to go look at the, it's straight December, it's fine.
You know who gets their dates wrong a lot?
Me?
No, you're so good with that. Playboy murders. They get their dates wrong a lot.
What are people going to do? Go and Google it? What crazy people sit and go Google shit after they watch? Hey, guys.
Hi, what's up?
All right, no big deal. So the guys are partying with two friends, Stephen Fowler and his sister, Heather Strider. And they're also both on the lam. They're wanted and they're fleeing from the law. So when you're breaking the law, who better to hang and chill with than find two other people who've done a bunch of shit and hang out drinking and hang out in some stolen boats that don't belong to you, that your neighbors never said you could borrow, that you just lied to us bullface on Discovery Plus.
I don't know why people think that they're all making impaired decisions. This all sounds sound to me.
Yeah,
I just said this all sounds sound.
This all sounds sound. Have you been sleeping enough, honey?
Probably too much. So they're drunk. And Steven and Sister Heather are complaining about being broke, and Jeff is like, oh, I got you. Let's go to the Landfall community and steal some shit. And Kylan is hesitant at first, but then thinks, we could steal a lot of shit between the four of us. And this is where we often see criminals' egos get in the way, because they're like, let me show you what I can do and what I've been up to, and I'm going to gift you this. And it's like, bro, you're dumb. So Heather is here, and she says, we give a fuck. We were just doing whatever we wanted without any care for hurting anyone. I'm like, you think we don't know that?
Yeah.
Joey, guess who's back?
Who?
Blissey. Remember Blissey Mulberry Silk pillowcases? Let me tell you, I'm here to tell you not about my experiences of sleeping with Blissey. That sounds fuzzy. But sleeping without Blissey. When we're on the road, I definitely notice a difference when I am sleeping on those hotel pillows. My hair is like, what the heck is this? I want the Mulberry Silk.
Well, that's because silk is what's best for your hair and skin. It reduces frizz, tangles, and prevents breakups?
It does not prevent breakups, but I wish it did. Blissey, if you come up with that, let us know.
It prevents breakage. That's because it keeps the moisture in your hair and keeps your skincare products and natural moisture on your skin, while cotton just sucks it all out.
Exactly. Now, be careful. I do love a dupe with some things, but not when we're talking about silk versus satin, because there are some dudes out there that claim satin can be an alternative to silk. Satin is made from synthetic fibers like polyester, and silk is an all-natural fiber. Skin is more breathable. It's going to hold in that moisture. It's going to be gentle, more durable, more long-lasting. Don't forget, Blissey pillowcases, they are made of 100% mulberry silk, which is naturally hypoallergenic. Sorry, I love some dupes on the internet, but you can't dupe a Blissey pillowcase.
And that's why everybody loves them. They have a ton of different prints and colors, and they make great gifts because there's an option for literally anyone. Men love them too, I'm here to tell you.
They have over 1 million raving fans, and you could be the next.
Try now risk-free for 60 nights at blissey.com/think and get an additional 30% off.
That's blissy.com/think and use code THINK to get an additional 30% off.
Your skin and hair will thank you.
And note to self, bring your Blissey pillowcases on tour. Thank you.
Stuck together for 25 minutes, 30 minutes, and then split up. Steven and his sister ended up going off solo.
They all agreed to meet back at the boat in an hour.
But stupid-ass idiot Steven Fowler hits a car with a car alarm. So the police spot Steven Fowler, fucking amateur. They all hear what's happening and they run back to the boat. And they wait a couple minutes and find, they're like, where's Steven? Where's Steven? And Kinder's like, fuck that guy. And Heather's like, no, it's my brother. And finally, in the nick of time, he makes it back to the boat. And they kind of all see what they've got. They like, it's like after Halloween when you look at all your candy. Well, these guys are looking at all their stolen loot from the wealthy Landfall community.
They divide up the goods and they keep partying. They're riding that high.
They find all kinds of electronics, but Heather found a cell phone. Not just a cell phone. Did you see what she had?
A pink razor.
Baby. The pink razor. That phone was a pioneer. That was a visionary phone. Do you remember the ring on the razor, or like any Motorola phone? Do you remember it?
Oh, yes.
The Razer phone, there has never actually been an aesthetically pleasing phone. Functionality, 2.63. Aesthetic, 10 out of 10. That was a gorgeous phone, and Heather got it. Like, you were the shit. I had a pink Razer phone, obviously.
I believe it. Can we just talk about ringtones for a second and what they say about you?
Go ahead.
Okay. I want you to know that when you're at a matinee of a Broadway show and you all of a sudden hear this in the middle of a pivotal moment of the show,
that's like an old school phone. Yeah.
That is an old person's phone. I always know that that is some Mima who's like, oh my God, I am so sorry. How do I turn it? Rob, turn my phone off.
Who's this person? Sorry, one second. Whose phone is that? Whose phone is playing the entertainer?
Also, there's this one.
That's awful.
I hate it. What's your ringtone now?
Silent.
You don't have a ringtone at all?
No. Text me.
Do you know what my ringtone is that someone put on my phone? I think it was my ex-fiance as a joke, and it's still there, and I've never bothered to change it. Do you want to hear it?
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Yes, I did know that. I did know that you have that on your phone.
So Heather and Kylan, while all of this is happening, she's so excited about her new pink Razor phone that they tell her not to use because they can track it. She decides nothing is sexier than hooking up with Kylan while my brother is in the next room. Disgusting.
So gross.
Next morning, I woke up and it was probably noon. I took her back to her friend's house, dropped her off. And I didn't have any intentions, you know, to see her again.
After all that took place, it was just like, you know, see you next time.
So even though they all told her not to, Heather uses the cell phone to make a lot of calls. Clearly, she doesn't know anything about cell phone records or pings or tracking. She's like, it's fine. So Charlene Dubois, not Chico artist, goes to her car to get her phone, which I'm not even going to pull at the thread as to why you left your phone in your car overnight. How did you fall asleep? And she can't find it. So she calls her phone and Heather picks up the phone that isn't hers. Idiot. And then Charlene, not Chico artist, is like, oh my God, I think my phone was stolen. And she's like, whatever. You know, she probably had insurance on it. She goes and gets another phone, but keeps the number, which we've all done. We've all lost phones and you get to keep your number, right?
And she did file a police report about that missing phone. So one day she's just diddling on her new phone and she gets a phone call from Heather's mother who is looking for her. And Charlene is like, how did you get this number? The mom is like, oh yeah, my daughter Heather Strider called me from this number. And immediately Charlene reports that name to the cops. And now the cops have a name. They run the name, and not only does she have a criminal history, she's wanted for violating her parole. But now they have to find her. And it's not going to be easy because Heather is experiencing homelessness.
She's kind of couch surfing and she's just sort of around, really hard to kind of nail down. So one night her and her brother are at a party and it's getting a little rowdy. But turns out Heather was and a fight kind of breaks out. This dude's like, you're not even supposed to be here. You're And she's like, pulls attitude instead of, if someone were to call me out for not being invited to a party, I would be mortified. I would crawl on my hands and knees out of there. But Heather has other plans.
The next thing I know, the guy had me up against the wall by my throat. I pulled a knife on him and told him that if he didn't let me go, I'd slit his throat from ear to ear.
And then out of nowhere, she says another woman grabbed her by the arm, threw her to the ground, and was on top of her. And the only way she could get this girl off of her was to say, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I'll go. I'm just embarrassed. Like, I get it. You know, it's, no, I'm just kidding. She stabs this woman in the side.
Yeah.
Three times.
Like I said, this is a stabby episode. So they find Heather eventually and they arrest her. So they asked her about the landfall break-ins because they tracked the cell phone back to her. And clearly she doesn't understand how cell phones work. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything about a stolen phone. And they're like, your mom sold you out, babe.
And eventually the police are like, if you don't tell us how it happened, who's involved, we will go ahead and pin every single robbery charge on you. And that's when she started to panic and she caves and tells them everything. She's like, my brother was with me that night. His name is Stephen Fowler. And Kylan Padgett and Jeff Kinder, they're responsible for the other robberies. Please don't send me to jail and don't pin this all on me. I'm sorry I used the pink Razor phone. I just love the ringer so much.
I just think it's so fun. And also me and Kylan had sex, but like I was kind of blackout and he was rubbing the inside of my thigh. I think he thought it was my clitoris and I wasn't even close and I didn't even finish, but I pretended like I did because I just wanted to go to bed because I was so tired because I had alcohol. And please don't tell him I said that because maybe he'll want to date me again, but like it just wasn't very good. And like maybe he could have just had a little bit more foreplay or something, but stop. Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing is that I really do think Barbie Girl by Aqua is a great song. Okay. It cheers me up. It makes me happy. I was hoping to set that as my ringtone and maybe walk down the aisle to it one day. Don't judge me. Oh, you told me to stop already. Sorry.
December 31st, 2008. Still laying low, Padgett is having a quiet New Year's Eve at home.
I was going to watch the ball drop and Next thing I know, I got a phone call. My neighbor called me, and he's like, he's like, hey, Kyle, man, you done anything wrong? And I'm like, nah, man. And I was like, why? He's like, because the cops are in the neighborhood kind of heavy right now.
Girl, tell me what's up. What's the 411? What has everyone been doing?
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? What's happening? So he runs to his backyard. Cops are there. Runs back to his living room. Cops are in his living room. They're like, we got a search warrant. The jig is up. And he's like, what? All this stuff? No, this isn't stolen. It's all mine. And they were like, these golf clubs? Uh-huh. What's your par? Uh-huh. Well, how's your 9-iron? Yeah. And they're like, what about this tag for Landfall Community Golf Course and Spa Resort? He's like, yeah, I love it there. It's my favorite place to flip a birdie or something.
It's my favorite place to drink a 40. I will never forget that as long as I live.
He's like, fine.
So he knows he's caught. He tells them everything, how they got in, what they stole, who he stole it with, the whole scheme. And both Kylan and Jeff are charged with 33 counts each of breaking and entering and larceny. But Kylan is released on a small bond with the expectation of coming back the next day to give more information.
What?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell they were thinking.
They were like, no, listen, we're really stocked up in this jail because we're getting ready for Missy Mice potluck. It's very, very famous. So you give me a pinky promise that you're going to come back tomorrow. Okay? Because we know you don't golf, and we already found that pink razor phone. And he was like, oh, no, I pinky promise. He's like, all right, you can go then. What the fuck are we doing here?
It's like amateur hour.
Joey, tell them who's here.
It's Smalls, and my goodness, do we love you, Smalls.
First of all, this podcast is sponsored by Smalls. I think they love us as much as we love them. If you've listened to us before, you know that our cats do not and cannot live without Smalls. I have had a little mini protest in my kitchen if I have run out of Smalls, and let me tell you, those two are loud. They've got signs and everything.
Y'all, Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative free ingredients. Let me say that again. Preservative free ingredients that you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. That's why veterinarians.org rates Smalls 10 out of 10 for ingredient quality, and I rate it 10 out of 10 because it doesn't make my garbage can stink.
And don't forget, the team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product, you're going to be able to try that risk-free. That means they will refund you if your cat does not eat it. I have yet to hear anyone who has ever complained. These packages look like little pate. I feel like if I ever ran out of hors d'oeuvres, I could serve it to my guests.
Now is the time to make the switch to Smalls.
Head to smalls.com/think and use promo code THINK at checkout for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our code THINK for 50% off your first order.
One last time, that's promo code THINK for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
And prepare to watch your cat's coats shine like the top of the Chrysler Building.
I see you.
Kinder is arrested and charged with the same crimes as Paget, but his bond is set at $145,000. Both Heather Strider and her brother Stephen Fowler are charged with 7 counts each of breaking and entering and larceny.
They didn't even offer me a deal. I wasn't smart enough to know that I needed to talk to a DA to make a deal.
The only person who made a deal for themselves was Kylan. So back at home, Kylan is thinking, I ain't going in there tomorrow to tell them shit. I'm think that they're gonna pin me for more crimes. You know why? Because there are more crimes to pin him with. So Kylan is like, fuck this, I'm going into hiding. And when he doesn't show up the next day, the cops issue a warrant for his arrest. So they started checking out his previous addresses, the homes of people he was friends with, they were looking for his car, and he lands on the county's most wanted list. Everyone is looking for him, even surrounding counties. Meanwhile, more and more warrants are adding up for Kylan as more and more crimes are connected to him. It's the whole reason that he did not want to go in and talk to them, because he knew they would figure that shit out, and they have.
And so he says he's waiting on some money that he was supposed to inherit. He was just waiting for it to clear certain banks. I was like, huh? It just goes through. What are we talking about? And then he said he also has family in Mexico. And we see reenactment Kylan walking by a reenactment board of pictures of his wanted poster. And and he pulls them down. Very 90s music video.
Yep.
Like slow motion, very artistic. So he's going around on and off, staying with a bunch of friends, and he stays with one guy named Jimmy Perrier.
It's Perrier, and that is not a real name.
It's none of it is, no. Jimmy Perrier.
Bonjour, I am Jimmy Perrier. There are two things I love, is a croissant and also harboring fugitives.
You can't just reinvent yourself and make yourself French just to have something interesting to say. That's not how it goes. Or maybe you can, I don't know.
Tell that to Rachel Dolezal.
Other than his friends, Padgett has very little contact with the outside world. He feels like a prisoner again.
I didn't like being cooped up. By nature, I can't be in a house all day.
He can't really go out and show his face anywhere because, number one, he's paranoid, and number two, he probably has reason to be paranoid because there's wanted posters of him all over the place.
So he does what anybody does in that situation. He creates an alias by the name of Alex McClay.
Right.
You may as well have made your name Regina Phalange.
I don't know how many times the Smooth Criminal video has come up in this podcast, but basically he slow motion takes a fedora.
Yep.
And it's like, Annie, are you okay? Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? And he's like dancing, and all of a sudden he could like pop and lock, and he's like, I'm Alex McClay. Can't you see I have this fedora? It's adorable how adora I look in a fedora. I don't know. Apparently Alex McClay wears fedoras.
They're terrible. I'm sorry. No judgment if you like a fedora. I've just never seen anybody look good in one. So he's hitting all the college parties. And then finally, that $25,000 inheritance from his grandmother's passing comes in. I wonder if that his grandmother lived in Mexico, because he says they say he had family in Mexico, and maybe the money was coming from there, and that's why it took so long?
Maybe that's it.
Anyway, but being the greedy dumbass that is Kylan slash Alex McClay, he decides that $25,000 is not enough. He wants to double it. How, you ask? I'll tell you how. He decides to acquire a ton of coke with that $25,000 and sell it to all of his new college friends. How hard could it be selling drugs while on the lam? Sounds seamless.
Well, he's got the fedora.
True.
So no one's gonna catch on. So he goes 3 months with his new identity and his new fedora, and he's like, I actually need a fake ID. So Jimmy Perrier agrees to give him his fake ID, and he's like, great, I have this fake ID, I got a shit ton of coke to sell, this fedora, I'm getting ready to bust a move on out of here.
But with his new drug operation in full swing, Padgett starts to worry about police catching on.
I was scared that when the cops came after me, they were coming with a vengeance. Because I just beat the attempted murder rap.
So now it's April 2009. Kylan has just made a drug deal and he's skateboarding his way through a college campus. He has a pistol on him, an ounce of coke, and $6,000. He gets stopped by a security guard who says, hey, you can't skateboard here. Let me see your college ID. Now listen, yes, Alex McClay slash Kylan Padgett is up to no good, but I hate a security guard on a power trip. It makes me crazy.
Yeah, it's super annoying.
So Kylan's like, okay, I have Jimmy's ID on me. I'll hand that over.
So he's questioning him about, why aren't you in class? What are you doing? And then all of a sudden, a fender bender happens in the parking lot, and the rent-a-cop has to, like, go tend to that. He's like, all right, get to class. So he just lucked out, and he got to literally skate on by. Get it? Because he was on a skateboard. That just the hits just keep on coming.
I see what you did there.
It's like, it's magic up in here. May 17th, 2009, he sold the rest of his coke, and he's driving to go get breakfast with friends, and they get stopped by the cops.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Kylan is so close at this point. He's almost sold off all of his coke. He just wants to go buy a motorcycle to take with him to Mexico. Girl, buy one in Mexico. What is wrong with you? And he can see his freedom. He's so close. But yes, a detective named David Williamson stops their car, and he walks up to the window, and y'all, Kylan recognizes this guy, and you want to know why? Because that was the guy who worked in the jail where Kylan spent a year complaining about soggy toilet paper.
Yes, he's like, no way, the jailhouse Karen. People don't like that. People who name Karen don't like it. What should we call him? The jailhouse Kent. Is that better? Okay. So he knows if that guy recognizes him, he is screwed. So Kylan takes his ID and pushes it between the cushions and he holds on to Jimmy's ID. So when the cop comes up and asks questions, he takes the driver's ID, but then he looks in and sees some tools on the passenger side and he thinks that's really suspicious. So he asks them all to get out of the car and takes the time to actually search the inside of the car. What does he find, Joey?
Oh, he just digs between the seats and finds Kylan's actual ID. And what sucks is that the driver has no idea that Kylan is living under an alias. He has no idea that he's a wanted man. He has no idea. So when the cop asks, "Can I search your car?" the driver's like, "Sure, go for it. Have fun." And Kylan's like, "Fuck!"
Officer Williamson finds Padgett's ID. It's a name and face he knows well.
I remember him as being the whiny kid that was in jail.
Coincidentally, the officer also saw him on TV the night before.
I was so shocked. I just saw, you know, him a few hours before on the Most Wanted channel.
So he looks up at the men outside of the car and he doesn't immediately recognize Kylan. And he goes, "Do you guys know Kylan?" And the minute he asks that question, Kylan is running. But it doesn't matter because the detective gets him with no problem. He pushes him to the ground and he puts him in handcuffs. And the detective goes, "How do you feel, Kylan?" And Kylan was like, "Actually relieved. I'm tired of running. I'm fucking exhausted. I never really liked the name Alex McClay. I decided on it while I was high on cocaine. Turns out making decisions, life-changing decisions on cocaine is never a good idea."
Yeah, also the fedora, I feel like it worked for a moment and then I wanted to ditch it. And by that time it was my brand and I really couldn't.
Yeah. So that was it for Kylan's crime spree. He had 11 warrants in Wilmington and 34 other warrants in New Hanover County. He pleads guilty and he serves his time until he is released in April of 2013. Now, we both have some side research here.
Yes, we do. He says if he could do one thing differently, he would have just turned himself in, which is rich. Because tell them what happened.
Well, Kylan was arrested again in November of 2013, just a mere 7 months after his release, when a cop caught him trying to break into a coin machine. Kylan was charged with breaking into the coin machine, possession of burglary tools, resisting arrest, and possession of a moped with an altered vehicle ID.
Which, didn't you just say you wish you would have turned yourself in and you're charged with resisting arrest?
Dum-dum. Well, then in April of 2018, Kyle was arrested in Northampton County after allegedly kidnapping a man from Castle Hayne and keeping police at bay for hours with a gun holed up inside the walls of a Garysburg manufacturing plant. Eventually, he gave up because, as he says, he was exhausted.
That standoff was 20 hours.
Yep.
20 hours. Remember when you said you wish you would have just turned yourself in?
Yep. And then he faced charges of kidnapping, 2 counts of probation violation, and resisting arrest. So since his crimes in 2009, Kylan Padgett racked up 127 criminal charges, according to his police record. Girl.
It's a lot. And from what I could find in my research, right now he is a truck driver back in Wilmington, North Carolina. So be careful on the roads. If you see a man doing the smooth criminal choreography, run the other way because he will put cocaine in you and he will sing the entire Bad album if you give him even just 5 minutes. Holy moly, what a lying piece of shit. I don't believe a word that comes out of that guy's mouth. Not a fucking word.
Listen, the truth is that Kylan was very intelligent. And like our dear friend Paul Kanan always says, you can use your powers for good or for evil. What will you choose?
I don't know. Say something funny.
Well, in the case of Kylan Padgett, he thought he was a smooth criminal. Mm-hmm. And the best way to describe a smooth criminal like Kylan Padgett is to let Michael Jackson do it for us. Hit it, Michael.
Down, bitches! That was our last I almost almost got away with it. You only get four, no matter how much we want to do it. We gotta move on. Follow us on social media to find out what our next series is gonna be coming right at you. Tell them what else they can do to support us, Joey.
You can follow us on social media. We are on all platforms at I Think Not Pod. We also have our Facebook group called the I Think Not Podcast Facebook Discussion Group. You can go there to talk about cases, get to know the community, and also we make a lot of our announcements there so you can stay on top of all of the news. And it's just a great way to connect with other down bitches.
We love it. We love to see how you guys are finding community with each other. It warms our cold, dead heart. Keep your eyes open for a new merch drop coming. And of course, our new quarter of our upper tier of Patreon will be opening very soon. So look out for that on our socials. And I can't wait to see you guys open all of your goodies we have for you in our Patreon. If you want more of that, go to patreon.com/ithinknot. And we love you so much. I love you, Joey.
I love you too, Yellow Marsh. And I love you, DBs.
Love you down, bitches. Bye. Bye.
Who is this little criminal?
And they're like, tell us about the landfill break-ins, because obviously
the
they track.
You said landfill.
Oh, that's so funny, because that's what you said before.
I believe it.
And then, yeah. Don't make me started. Don't make me start. Who's making me started? Do not make me started. If there's anything I know about Joey, you do not make him started, okay?
You know, the original lyrics to Queen's Don't Stop Me Now was make me start now. It was just like that.
It's fine. Yeah. It's going great. We're 5 minutes in.
Oh my gosh, the pressure. Is this on Patreon or the regular app?
Regular. I love how she had to check because she was going to say some shady shit. All right. No, it's on the Patreon, Charlene.